The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. We have preempted today's episode of Real Science Friday, an interview with a scientist, to talk about the great tragedy in Aurora, the brutal mass murder. And we have in studio Will Duffy, longtime friend of Bob Enyart Live. So, Will, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, Bob, glad to be here. Just not under the circumstances, of course.
Right, exactly. This morning, 5:45, our alarm went off. Cheryl got up, went right to the news, and we watched for 2 hours in horror. And we, of course, knew that we had to preempt the show. So, Will, what I'd like to do is talk about the causes. What causes things like this to happen so frequently? The murder epidemic in America has been horrendous for decades. And then solutions. So I'd like to do that. Have you heard any reporting on other, especially talk radio, where it's somewhat hand-wringing and a caller will say, well, here's maybe what causes this. And the hosts go after one issue after another, and they shoot down everything as though there's no cause.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what someone will bring up or an idea someone will have. I guess pretty much all they'll say is, well, millions of people do that. Yeah, we don't have millions of instances.
Well, that
like
was this morning on, I don't know if you heard KHOW Radio, Peter Boyles.
I did, yeah.
That was exactly it, right? Somebody would say, well, there's all the violence in the culture, all the violence in entertainment and video games. And he'd say, there's millions of people playing video games. Not everybody does that. That's not the point, right? The point is not that everyone who has, let's say, bad parents is going to turn out to be a murderer, but bad parents raising a child in a destructive way is one of the factors that lead people to be not only unsociable, but even criminally minded.
Right. Everybody's going to react to things differently, and everyone's going to be different even under the same circumstances. So it's just faulty logic to look at it that way.
So perhaps you could share with the audience, if there's anyone who just woke up because they work all night and turned on the radio, what happened. And the theme of this show, then, I'd like it to be this. You cannot stop every crime, but you can end an epidemic. Like in Chicago, it's the murder capital of the U.S. right now. There are more killings there than going on in Iraq on a battlefield or Afghanistan. So you can't stop every crime, but you can end an epidemic. So I'd like us to talk about the causes and solutions. But first, what happened last night at 12:30?
Essentially, there was a theater packed full of people seeing one of the first releases of a new Batman movie, a midnight showing, and about 30 minutes into the film, a 24-year-old walked in the exit door. Most people are familiar that the exit doors in movie theaters go out to the parking lot. So he came in the exit and released tear gas and just started shooting the place up, shooting everyone.
What a great tragedy. And he was very calm. He had multiple weapons. He had something like tear gas canisters. There is a possible report of an accomplice who propped open the door. It's like the fog of war. Early on, there's so many things that are not known. Certainly, he may have acted alone. So there will be a lot that will come to light. We haven't mentioned his name. I think, in fact, on a neighboring station, they're not mentioning his name. I think as a general rule, that's a good idea, not to spotlight, not to put in the headlines and make these murderers famous, because a lot of them are looking to become celebrities. And not that it should be against the law or that it's a sin, of course not, but it shouldn't be in the headlines if we want to be wise. Maybe after the jump on page 9 in the 32nd paragraph, and here's the guy's name.
Yeah, let's talk about the theme of the show. You can't stop every crime, but you can end an epidemic. It's sad, but we really have two epidemics going on. Mm. We have a murder epidemic. I think everyone's aware of that. But now we have a massacre epidemic. Mm. I would consider this a massacre. 71 people so far are being reported as actually being shot. And I think somewhere around a dozen or so are dead, and the rest are obviously injured. Mm. Just think of how bad this could have been.
Mm. So if we try to think about the causes and the solutions, I think that if you follow the national dialogue, it's probably not going to help you much figure out what really are the core problems. For example, one of the first things we said, Will, my wife and I this morning, is as this is discussed nationally, if it turns out that this guy is part of some conservative or Christian group, that will be in the headlines. That'll be assumed and reported by the national media. But if he was a member of a homosexual church or some Acorn employee, then that'll be downplayed or not mentioned at all.
Yeah, let me add something to that. Of course, I agree, but there's another part too. Mm-hmm. Even if he's not associated with a conservative group or a Christian group, it will be reported that he was.
Right, like on ABC. They said, we don't know if this is the same guy, but there's a guy by that name in Aurora, Colorado, and he's a member of the Tea Party. And so that's an example, right? Guy by the same name, he's a member of the Tea Party. Turns out it was a different guy. But didn't that happen also with the congresswoman who was shot in Arizona?
Yeah, Gabrielle Giffords.
That's right. Immediately, they said he's a disgruntled conservative. Turns out he was a mentally ill liberal, if anything. And in Norway, very similar thing with the mass murder of the kids there. And they came out and said he's a Christian.
Right.
He doesn't even believe in God. So he was not a Christian by his own writings. But people think if you're born in America, you're a Christian. That's the way the media will interpret it, sort of.
Right. And they hate Christians. That's the fact.
So the national dialogue will go that way. And also guns. Of course, the focus will be on guns kill people. When in reality, in the Old West, way more young people had access to guns than today, and they were not killing one another. So that's simply not true. Kids used to bring their guns to school and hang them up in the cloakroom.
Right. I have family members that are still alive that brought guns to school, you know, and that was never a problem. Never an issue.
So back when guns were, I think, more prevalent per child in society, we didn't have this. So it's not the guns. And so that's a distraction. And to the extent that people go down that road, there's going to be more innocent people slaughtered because they're not going after the solution.
It's not even just a distraction. It's absurd.
It's absurd.
And here's the reality. When you control guns or when you ban guns or when you take guns away, who ends up with guns?
The criminals.
The criminals end up with guns no matter what. The only solution to bad guys with guns is good guys with guns.
And this theater chain has a policy of no concealed carry guns in their theaters. And as a private business, it's private property. I think they should have every right to that policy, but I think it's extremely unwise. If somebody would have come into an Old West theater that was crowded, stand up on the stage and start shooting people, he probably would have been dead within 5 seconds. Dead. So maybe he would have got off 2 or 3 rounds. So concealed carry, of course, the Bible points out that it is bad governments that take away the weapons of the people. And God's leaders, in obedience, armed the people. So when you fear your own people as though they're the enemy, then you're going to want to disarm them. Like the Nazis disarmed the Jews. They disarmed the Jews.
Right. A lot of people actually don't even won't admit that, but it's an obvious fact.
Yeah. Peter Boyles has gone both ways on that on the air.
Right.
To point out an example. But of course, we still have the historical documentation that the Nazis did confiscate guns from who they perceived as their enemies, the Jews, which was absurd, and it made the Jews very vulnerable, of course. All right. So could we go through and talk about a list of causes. What really causes this? If it's not the gun, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And they'd use other things, too, if they didn't have guns. And that liberals try to make it so you can't commit a crime instead of so that you won't commit a crime. And that's so significant. You need a massive government to regulate a million possibilities if you want to make it so that people cannot commit a crime, like put metal detectors at every theater. What good will that do? There are restaurants. There are back doors. You just shoot the guy working at the metal detector. It's ridiculous. But you need to go toward deterrent, not toward ability, like can you commit the crime, but toward the will. Well, I won't commit the crime. If they would have executed this guy already or by tonight on live TV, 100 million young people will grow up knowing that even if you're doing drugs, even if you're angry at the world, whatever, you're just not going to do this.
Right. So let's dive in. I think the number one question when something like this happens is why? You know, it's kind of what everybody wants to know. And when it comes to deterrence, is it possible to deter crime? And the answer is, of course it is. And we've got lots of evidence. And I think our most important evidence is that that's exactly what God told us would happen.
God in the Bible said that you need to punish the criminal swiftly. Swiftly. So if you do have the death penalty for somebody and it comes after 18 years of appeals and all, people don't even remember the crime. It is no deterrent. But you need to swiftly and painfully punish the criminal. And God promises in his word that will be a deterrent. We have a God's Criminal Justice System seminar on this. We have it on CD and downloadable MP3s. And we have a DVD on God and the death penalty. These make it abundantly clear that God says that the death penalty is a deterrent.
Yeah, and there's actually something else that's so important besides swiftly and painfully, and that's consistently. This can't be something that happens one out of every 30,000 murders, because it's funny to me, but people will actually say, Christians will actually argue against this idea that we can deter crime by saying we have the death penalty.
And it doesn't
work.
Right. Since I've been on the air, Will, some years there have been as many as 24,000 murders in one year. This is a horrendous epidemic. And we have swollen the inmate population in our prisons from 1 million to 2 million. And that didn't actually address the crime epidemic. It only postponed it because now all those people are getting out of jail. That was just another distraction and another mistake.
Right.
Now, we talk about corporal punishment, capital punishment, and restitution being the only three forms of punishment that God has authorized, not locking somebody up like an animal for 40 years. That's not a valid form of punishment.
You know, Bob, we should talk about another angle to this, mm-hmm. which is kind of overtaking everybody's thoughts, and that's the mental health aspect.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that, and I want to get to temporary insanity, but go ahead.
So people think that, you know, this is a mental health issue and everybody that commits a crime like this must be mentally ill. And so the solution is we got to deal with mental health in the public school and we got to work with these kids so that this doesn't happen. And so my first question to somebody that would say something like that is, well, wait a minute, we really didn't do that in the past in the schools.
Yeah, we haven't had intensive mental health curricula all over the country for kids. And so that must not be why 100 years ago, the kids were not killing themselves. Must be another reason.
Right, obviously.
Yeah. And also those who say that it's temporary insanity, the swift death penalty, there's evidence in this very crime that that would have been a deterrent because he did not go there planning to die.
Right. He's alive.
He's alive. He planned to get out of there. And when the cops approached him, he didn't try to shoot them because he knew they'd shoot back. He cared about his own skin, like the Bible says, that people care about their own lives. And so the swift and painful death penalty is absolutely a deterrent. If he thought that there might be concealed carry guns in there, there's every possibility that that would have deterred this crime and it never would have happened because he didn't want to get killed. He's not temporarily insane because he knew that if he shot at the cops, he'd get killed. He didn't want to do it. He knew very well the consequences of his actions and what he had to do to preserve his own life.
Right. And I'm not sure if you caught this in the news, but he was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Bulletproof vest. So it's all predetermined, of course.
He could have committed suicide. He could have committed suicide by cop.
Right. And also, he's a postdoctorate student, right?
Yeah, I think he was getting his PhD for neuroscience at CU Denver.
CU Denver. I'm sure he started out in school in California, came here.
Right.
And so there's also a false notion that the more highly educated we are, that is the solution to the crime problem. Well, Europe had the nation of Germany as probably its most highly educated population in all of Europe. And they became a mass murder machine. In fact, right. I know a lot of people in the medical industry who smoke cigarettes. They work in a hospital and they smoke.
Right.
So if education was really the solution, then people who work at hospitals wouldn't be going outside and littering the ground with cigarette butts. So that's not the solution. I mean, I'm all for education, but that is not the solution. You could have a very highly educated culture of death and destruction.
I really hope people are starting to see that we do have an epidemic. I mean, let's face it. When you turn on the news in the morning and you hear about something like this, the first word that comes into my head is that this is routine. Murder and these massacres have become so routine.
And of course, there'll always be one that's larger than the others. But eventually, you get to where you can't remember them all. I mean, there have been so many school shootings with multiple kids dead. You can't even remember the cities where they took place, never mind the names of the victims. So as far as causes, well, I think that when millions of kids are taught in public school that there are no right or wrong answers, there are no absolutes, there's no absolute right, no absolute wrong, there is relativism. What's right for you isn't necessarily right for me. And if it feels good, do it. That whole rebellious mindset. I think that's part of the causes. I think that the public schools teaching kids that you have evolved from an animal, you're an animal. And when you teach kids that they're animals, how could you possibly be shocked when they act like animals? Animals kill one another. The survival of the fittest. Big fish eat little fish. If an animal is mad at something, it'll just attack it or kill it. And also, we do not have effective criminal justice deterrent. We put adults in timeout for the most part. Killing the innocent is a solution today. It's no longer taboo. So if you have a problem, one way to deal with it is you kill the innocent. I'll give you examples. Euthanasia, right? Remember Children's Hospital? Do you remember what they did? It was in the news. A big account, it's like a 10-page long account of the starvation of one young boy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, was that Dylan Walborn?
4-year-old, severely handicapped boy, Denver's Children's Hospital recommended that he be starved to death, and they euthanized a 4-year-old handicapped boy.
Just unbelievable.
There is suicide that is defended as a solution. There is abortion killing the unborn child, so that killing the innocent today is no longer taboo. People laugh, they cackle if you say that we're made in God's image and he cares about the innocent. They cackle.
Right.
And they mock God, they try to, and they mock Christians. So these are the causes, I think.
Yeah, the whole idea with the public school, I think we can all sit back and realize there's been a change in the public schools. I mean, let's look at the state of what's going on and who the kids are becoming. And you know what? It also goes into the home as well, how they're raised and what they're taught at home.
And the public school teachers' unions and the administrators, they blame the homes, but they forget that the parents all went to public school. So the parents were molded into the image of a public school education, and they turn out to be bad parents. And so their kids are growing up in a very broken way with no moral foundation, no true boundaries.
Right. It's funny, but I think it's becoming more and more painful for public school teachers and administrators to even admit such a thing as right and wrong.
Will Duffy, I called Doug McBurney this morning. I knew he was out of state and he's in California in San Diego. And the murderer's mother lives just north of San Diego. And he said he's in a room with all professionals. And of course, this is what they're talking about when they're not working or even when they are working. And he said, for one thing, they're saying, what's with Colorado? you know, what's with Colorado? But Doug said, well, of course, it's a national crime epidemic. The murder capitals of the country since we've been on the air have been New Orleans and Washington, D.C. and Chicago. Colorado is getting attention for these horrendous mass murders like Columbine and this. But Doug said, I don't know anything at all about this guy. And of course, I could be wrong, but I'll make two predictions. One is that he went to a godless public school, and two, that he came from a broken family, that his parents were divorced.
Wow.
And so we'll find out. I know the mother has been in the news. The mother called the police for protection. The mother, apparently, this is very similar to Columbine, where in Columbine, one of the mothers, the two murderers, one of the mother's father called police and said something like, you have our son, or, you know, we expect you're looking at our son.
Yeah,
do you remember how that went?
Yeah, years ago, I spoke with Columbine dad, Brian Rohrbaugh. His son, Danny, was actually one of the ones murdered at Columbine.
Yeah, great tragedy.
And what I recall with the story is that when there's a school shooting like that, especially a school as big as Columbine, you're just going to get floods and floods of phone calls from parents wanting to know, how is my child?
Is my child safe?
And from what I remember Brian telling me is that a parent from both of the murderers, when they called in, their first initial phone call was not, how is my son? But it was essentially,
is my son involved?
Yeah. And I think it was even an admission. We know our son is involved. We need to talk.
Well, and if you recall, Brian Rohrbaugh fought heroically to get the Columbine Memorial to actually be a memorial of substance. So in Granite, he has his son asking him, Dad, why? Why do these things happen? And it's there today at that Columbine Memorial, right next to the school. And I don't have it verbatim, but it's in a country where they don't permit God in school and they slaughter innocent children in the womb. Of course, then you have a culture of death.
And I'm glad it's there, but it's not there easily. There was a lot of fighting to keep that there. But yeah, this situation is similar. In the beginning of a situation like this, you don't really know what to believe. One reporter or journalist will say something and it will just flood the internet.
Sure.
But what I've read is that the mother of this murderer here in Aurora, Colorado, didn't even hear a name. She heard what had happened and what city it was in. And she told the news, I'm pretty sure it's my son.
Oh, boy.
So she knew for whatever reason. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was a broken home situation.
Well, often that's the case, right? And Oprah Winfrey did a show, a horrendous show. It was the only Oprah show ever filmed, ready to broadcast, and it was canceled. It never aired. You recall that? It was with a family of one of the Columbine murderers, with one of the moms. And the mom's point was, we have nothing to apologize for. It basically glorified the family of one of the murderers. And I contacted one of the producers and said that there is outrage among the Columbine community that this is going to air. And that show, Oprah Winfrey put out a press release and said, we are not going to broadcast that show. It was never aired.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that was a good thing. So we know the causes. The causes are turning away from God, and kids are taught, rather than they're made in God's image and likeness, they're taught that they're animals. And so then they act like animals. Question authority. If it feels good, do it. There's no right or wrong. Suicide is a valid solution to a problem. So there is no sanctity of life. Killing the innocent. And there are kids, victims, apparently just young children right up to adults.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Crime is not deterred anymore in this country. It absolutely is not. Right now, the only thing deterring crime is our conscience.
Yeah, because if you're convicted and you're sent to prison, for the most part, the vast majority, 99.9%, they watch cable TV and movies, they play soccer, they play volleyball, they play basketball, they sleep in, they read books, they gamble, they play chess, they have sex, they watch pornography, they get pornography, they get high, they do drugs. Jail is time out for adults, but it's like taking all the misfits and putting them in detention, where they all have time out together, and they get worse in jail. Jail is an absolute catastrophe. And that's something else. Once we abolish child killing, we need to abolish the prison system? Because it is an utter failure.
I would guess that the majority of criminals don't even end up in jail.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones that do don't spend a lot of time there. They're going to get half their sentence off for good behavior.
But even the ones who are in for 10 or 20 or 30 years, they come out worse.
Of course.
And recidivism rates are through the roof. It's all a joke. God doesn't say lock someone up for 30 years as a punishment. In fact, in the Bible explicitly, God only authorizes having people incarcerated during the trial until there's a verdict. And then you either swiftly punish them or release them.
We must point out that there are a lot of prisons and a lot of jail systems biblically, but they're always in the pagan nations.
They're always run by wicked governments. That's right. Many people are put in jail in the Bible, but always by wicked governments.
And something else I'd like to point out is that a lot of people think that life without parole is some great punishment and it will ensure that this person will never be on the streets again. Well, we could do a whole show on the people who got life without parole that became murderers again and got out and became criminals.
Well, what a great point. And Will, I think there's a problem also. Our kids, we've raised 7 boys and our 3 youngest ones are still at home. And video games kids, especially boys, love video games. We don't let our kids play the video games that involve shooting other people. They do race car video games and hockey video games and, you know, Mario up in space. That's what they do. But not where you're shooting people. Some of the most famous games, you literally play a character who shoots and kills cops, or you shoot women, or you sexually assault women and kill them. This is standard fare for a lot of kids growing up, and the music and the movies celebrating violence, real serious problems.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. This is a tough one, you know, and it's something I'm going to have to think about. I've got 2 young kids. Is that video games have evolved. You know, when the video games first came out that involved shooting, you know, it was shooting animals. You were a hunter. And then they evolved where you're actually shooting the bad guys.
Right.
And now...
Now you play any role, first-person shooter, switch roles. So you're either protecting a woman from a gang or you're in the gang raping and killing the woman. And remember I was on ABC with a popular rapper, his album had just gone platinum, Cisco. And I had the lyrics of a song in my pocket. And I said, aren't you embarrassed? And he said, no, I'm not embarrassed. I pull out the lyrics and I show them to him. And he slithers down in his chair like a snake. And during the TV break, I asked him, don't you know there's a God? And don't you know that you're going to be held accountable by God? And he said, you know what, man? I think you're right. And his lyrics, Will, it talked about raping your cousin, raping your sister and leaving her in the gutter. That was his lyrics.
Unbelievable.
And that's what millions of kids are growing up with, that kind of trash. So it's the movies glorifying violence and it's young kids being allowed by parents to watch overwhelmingly violent and sexually seductive movies like Titanic with actual nude scenes in it, and millions of young kids brought by their parents. It is so vulgar and foul before God. And God grieves at these murders. So, Will, we only have a minute left, but the solutions are to reassert in the public consciousness that there is a God. We are made in God's image and God's likeness. God said, do not kill the innocent, do not murder. And if you do, you have to face the wrath and punishment of man's government and of God unless you repent.
Right. And let's not forget that man's government are God's ministers.
God's ministers to bring what? Vengeance and wrath with the sword, it says in the New Testament. In fact, God says that man's government, the earthly judge, is not allowed to show mercy. He's not allowed to show pity. Only God can show mercy. If someone murders his neighbor, we have no standing to forgive that person. Only God could forgive that person. If he murders his neighbor, I'm not the one murdered.
Like you said, there's no plea bargains in God's court. No, absolutely not.
No plea bargain. So to teach the God-given right to life, we're made in God's image. We did not evolve from animals. The criminal justice system needs to return to the fundamental biblical principles as we talk about online. Just Google God and the death penalty, and we'll be the first resource that'll show up. So these are some of the fundamentals, and get rid of godless education. Take your kids out of the godless public schools.
Yeah, and let's not forget, we do have evidence of this, and it's called history.
History.
history. Absolutely. Let's just look at the past, even going back to 40s, 50s, 60s.
So homeschooling, Christian homeschooling, the personhood movement, the young earth creation movement, these are the greatest assets for the body of Christ to press forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ to influence the culture for good and to actually change lives.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle, but God never promised us it would be easy.
Yeah, he sure didn't. And he didn't say that we'd have the victory immediately, but we are assured we're more than conquerors. And I've read the last chapter of the book, and the Lord wins, and everyone on his side shares the victory with him. Thank you, Will Duffy.
Amen. Thank you.
What an honor to have Will Duffy back in studio. A tragic day. Tune in next week for Fred Williams and Bob Inyart on Real Science Friday. God bless you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Inyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.